with allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning. Will County Board Supervisors, June 15th, 2021. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
Agenda, meet with department heads, elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. Just want to back to the election updates here and just let everybody know that the City of Burlington candidates, their filing period begins August the 9th through and ends August the 26th. That's for the, so that we can find out whether we need to have a city primary or not. And then all the other school districts and cities, their candidate filing deadline is August the 23rd and ends September the 16th. And city candidates will file their papers here at the auditor's office, and school candidates will file their papers with the school district. So, and the spring cleanup is still going on. I don't know if that's helping Brian with the ditches or not, but...
They can't hurt.
They can't hurt.
Although thanks to Kevin's guys, because we had another trash dump the other day and they found a name and it got picked up by somebody else. So.
Good work.
That's appreciated by far, honestly, that's appreciated by far more than just us. You'd be shocked how the residents love to see that, because they hate it when people show up and dump stuff like that.
I bet they do.
It's a thorn in all of our sides. I just hate to see that.
That would be a fun ticket to write.
Yes.
That's it.
Thank you, Terry. Sheriff Glenn Denny.
Good morning. Things are going well at the sheriff's office. We've just finished up some, the field training of one of our new deputies, Brandon McClellan. You guys met him several months back. So he'll be going out on his own on solo patrol. We're excited to be at that point, working towards our being at full staff. Have another deputy still in training and one to be hired. So we continue to work towards that, but having some success there. Everything else is going really well. The jail populations, I'll steal from Doug here, down to 62 with a 68-bed jail. That's within our normal range. It's the first time I think we can say that in quite a while. Four are out of county, but we'll always deal with that with conflicts and just when they need a max unit. So we're back in that normal range, which is nice to be at.
Doug didn't lose some of it, did he?
No, we haven't lost any. Right?
No.
Couple off the range.
Thank you, Sheriff. Brian Carter, Secondary Road.
Good morning. Projects are moving along. Flint Bottom looks like we're going to pour some main line maybe Friday. Looks like a chance of rain, so we'll see if all that lines up. But so it sounds like maybe between the end of this week and sometime early next week, we could finish the main line of concrete on the what would be the west end of Flint Bottom. There's still radiuses and some shaping and stuff like that, but that's good progress. I'd say maybe 3 or 4 weeks, and the crew could be looking at moving over to the other section. So. Highway 99, the bridge there, that's moving along. Sounds like maybe early next week, pouring the main line for the south end of the bridge. So so that's good.
Did they get their, is the dirt settling now for 28 days? Did they get their dirt work
done? It's been, that clock's been running for almost a week now.
Okay.
Actually over a week now. So yes, yep. In fact, when we talked, they wrapped it up that week. And we started the clock, and they're still working. There's still stuff to be done, but it's actually going to work out pretty well, to be honest with you. It's not going to be a dead 28 days, is how I'll put it. There are things to be done, and they are still working. So, yeah, that's making headway, and sometime when it works out, I'll get you guys up there so you can take a look at that. It's a completely different looking site than it was when there was just a bridge sitting high and dry and out in the middle of nowhere. So. I would mention the Pleasant Grove project, because we're the same contractor that's working on the DOT job is doing that project. And I think they're basically looking at it as a filler for when they have a lull. So our very first heads up from them was it's going to be as late as possible in the year. And the last thing we heard was, well, we think we might end up with a lull on 61, so we may go ahead and get the thing going. So I'm just giving, we haven't had a pre-con, but we're just getting mixed signals about when they actually are going to start. So I'll let Shane know, because I know that's a route for him, but we will also let the public know whenever we get that heads up about that project proceeding. I'm all for it any time, because that road could use a replacement right there. So, other than that, guys are working, doing some mowing. We dried out really early compared to what I'd call a normal summer. I mean, Burlington just got 2 inches of rain, but then you go out to Middletown, they didn't get a drop. So it's been really spotty, and that leads to just drier, dustier gravel roads than normal for this time of year. So it's generated some July and August calls already in June, which is not what you want really. But hopefully we'll get back to some moisture and maybe we'll do some more blading. So
while that rainstorm was going on in Burlington, it was perfectly sunny at my house.
I didn't get a drop of rain either. Yeah, it was really spotty. But then
weird.
You know they had 2 inches all at once in Burlington. So anyway, yeah, guys are working on white cam today. It's got some baskets set in. We actually got a belt truck coming today to put some rock in some baskets. So credit to the guys. That's a big project for us to take on. They've done. When I get you out there, I think you'll be impressed with how it looks.
Good. So, do you have a revised completion date on the 99 bridge?
I don't. I'm basically telling people somewhere around, hopefully early August is what I'm telling people now. It could go a little earlier than that. It could go a little bit beyond that, but that's what I'm saying right at the moment. Working days wise, they could go all the way out into September. I don't anticipate that. I don't think the contractor wants that. So that's what I'm saying right now. But the fact that we've dried out, that the dirt got put in, finally they got to keep moving on that. We got to start that clock. That really helps that schedule get moving. So
I got a bunch of rain at my house. Made things good for me. My wife was gone. And it sort of eased the path for me to be less than candid about how much I have actually watered her flowers.
So you got bailed out.
Questions,
what you're
questions that aren't asked don't have to be.
Better get that lawn mowed.
Jared Lasseter, Land Use.
Morning. We have one minor subdivision on the agenda for today. Looking at doing a work session to discuss a couple of topics next week. One of those is related to the ordinance update, at least partly, and then one is more of just a general land use case. So apart from that, I don't have anything else.
Thank you, Jared. Rodney Buesner, maintenance.
Good morning. Give you a quick update on the alley. They got the kind of the middle section and the south side done. Plan on opening that up on Thursday. They just poured the north end yesterday, so it'll be in the next week before that's opened up. They got a little section to do. They got to wait for that to cure up before they can kind of dig up the little spot along the wall there and get the cement truck on there to pour that. So,
in other words, my congratulations is a couple weeks away.
Probably at least, yeah, another week and a half away. So, they've done a pretty good job, so that project's going smooth. They got the pad poured for the generator at the geo last Thursday, so that's moving along. Just got a lot of stuff going on, but that's about all I have to report this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. Brooke Marlin, Veterans Affairs and General Assistance.
Really nothing new to report, just keeping busy. Things are going good.
Good. Ken Heinemann, Community Services.
Good morning. We had another governing board meeting last week for the Seal Region, and we've had management team meetings too. And I just kind of written down a list of things to report. This next year will be a year of planning for the Seal Region. We got our case management funds, well, they're going to be moved over from Fund 16 to Fund 10 after July 1, and we got the region to approve doing that. We must get fund balance down to 40% at the physical agent level by July 1st, 2022, so we got a year to get down to 40% at the physical agent level. Now that's the local level, we're already down pretty well. Eventually, the state will only allow a 5% fund balance, so over time. We won't know the state's performance outcomes, their annual contract measures for regions till January 1st, 2022, which affects the state allocation of dollars to the region. So we can't do a whole lot of planning until January 1st, and then we'll know more. The region CEOs and auditors have a committee to discuss things, and the region finance committee will be meeting to discuss the revenue cuts and make a five-year plan based on the new legislation in Senate File 619. July 1st, 2022, no Fund 10 anymore, just one regional fund, you know, they call that 4150. So the region employees will need to be under one employer, and there's talk about, would Des Moines County be willing as the fiscal agent to be the employer for the region? So I just wanted to bring that up just so you can be thinking about that. Another option would be if we privatize and all of the employees that are currently employees of the eight different counties in our region become private employees. But what I've heard is the CSS region privatized and it took them 3 years to get that whole process done. So.
It's privatized, you mean became employees of the region?
Where the CO region would have their own employees. And then you'd have to come up with your own health insurance. I said, how did they do health insurance? Well, I guess they got ISAC to let them have health insurance without through ISAC. But there's just a lot of hoops to jump through to privatize and become your own entity. And it would be better if one of the eight counties in our region took on, we're only talking about maybe 12 to 14 employees, and four of them are already Des Moines County employees. So I think the region at some point is going to be approaching Des Moines County saying, would you consider everyone, when we have to in a year, have everyone be an employee of Des Moines County and be under your benefits and everything. So a lot would have to be worked out in that arrangement. But
tell them that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, at this point I've just said I have no guarantees. I don't know what the county would say, but you know, we need to explore all our options. So the governor is scheduled to sign the legislation on Wednesday this week, so we think it's going to go through that Senate File 619. So it's like I say, we're just going to have to do a lot of planning in this next year and make sure we have all the core services that the state requires. That's going to be part of their outcome measures, is that we have all the core services. And right now we have 2 to 4 core services that we don't really have yet. So, and how to fund those, you know, with reduced revenues, it's going to be a challenge. So that's all I have for now.
Thank you, Ken. Janone Ellie Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Good morning. We're just keeping busy. We'll mention that our tax sale is next Monday at 9 a.m. online. The last day to make online payments would be Thursday at 11:59 p.m. And then in the office, we'll take payments up until 4:30 next Friday. Anything after 4:30, of course, there won't be any payments for a while until the tax sale is completed and done. But just keep them busy.
Thanks, Janelle.
You're welcome.
Angie Vaughn, safety.
Good morning. Just keeping busy. Don't really have anything to do at this time. So.
Thank you. Natalie Steffner, Des Moines County Recorder.
Good morning. Things are going good in the recorder's office. Nothing new to report.
Thank you. Krista Pogemiller, Public Health.
Good morning. Continuing with the COVID vaccines, we're still giving vaccine at the farmer's market every Thursday from 4 to 7 down on 500 block of Jefferson, and then we're also giving it our office Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays for anyone who's interested in the COVID vaccine. Good news is our rolling 7-day percentage is down to 1%. We've only had 3 cases in the last 7 days, so definitely making good progress.
Good. That cheers me up.
Does it make you feel better?
It does. Oh! Chris,
snuck in.
Chris Lee, conservation.
We're sitting back here in the bad kids' room. not a whole lot to report. Parks are busy, it's summertime. Make a note with the heat. It seems like it was only a few weeks ago we had frost warnings, and then all this heat comes and sets in. We've had a couple situations out of our parks where people just they went down, because they, you know, all of a sudden it's 95 degrees and high humidity, and they're not used to that. So just, you know, make note of that, and I know that's kind of come around our emails, but just remember that when you're out in the parks and stuff, it gets pretty cycling out there. A couple action items on the agenda today. Had a couple staff turnover, just kind of keeping things moving along. So we do have our water quality symposium for Big Hollow is next Thursday, June 24th at Big Hollow at 5:30. So this is the watershed plan that we've been working on. Honestly, this has been churning in the background for years, but it's really been about the last year or so that we've been formally working on this plan, and this is the opportunity for the public to come and give their input, kind of learn what the engineers and the different agencies that are involved in this, which is DNR and IDALS and those types, are all involved in. We've been doing a lot of research in the watershed to figure out the nutrient loading issue, which contributes to the excess phosphorus in the lake, which then contributes to the excess algae that we have in that lake. If you go out there now, that place is pretty green. And so we are working on addressing that. We've got to get this plan put in place, and so this is an opportunity for stakeholders to give their input.
What time and where?
5:30 p.m. at the shelter house, the big shelter house at the east end of the park. So it's the Hickory Shelter.
Shelter house at a Big Hollow.
Yeah, so if you just come into the park, hit that four-way stop and turn left, you'll come right to it. Starts at 5:30. If you call an RSVP, we're serving dinner. We're doing a barbecue dinner, so just call our office, and we just need a head count to make sure we have enough barbecue for everybody. But yeah, the engineers will be there, kind of talk about what they've learned through the research and stuff, and then have the public give their input on the plan. So that's the next big thing we got coming up. Hope everybody can come out to that. We had a good turnout with our flotilla, and that kind of fed into that. And then we've been doing, we've had this online survey going on. So if you haven't had a chance to fill out that online survey, please do so. You can find that through our website. And then this will kind of be the capstone event to kind of bring all of that together. So that's about it.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
No, I didn't miss anybody. Okay. Correspondence.
I have none.
We have some. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, Region 7, has approved a Class 1 permit modification submitted by the Department of the Army at the Iowa Army Ammunition Plant. The Resource Conservation and Recovery Act Hazardous Waste Management Permit issued in the U.S. Army and American Ordnance LLC with an effective date of 28 September 2018 and permit condition 8 requires the sampling of Trench 4 at the former inert landfill during the month of May. The permit modification moves the groundwater sampling at Trench 5 from May 2021 to November 2021. This delay is needed to allow the U.S. Army time to place a new contract in place for groundwater sampling at Trench 5. In 2022, the sampling will resume in May of each year. The point of contact is Mr. Randy Doyle, IAAAP Environmental Coordinator, 319-753-7103. Sincerely, Lieutenant Colonel Eric Schilling, Commanding. And we received a letter from the Communications Workers of America. In accordance with provisions of the current labor agreement between Des Moines County deputies and correctional officers, Des Moines County clerical and custodial, and the Communications Workers of America, this letter serves as notice of our intent to seek certain modifications to the labor agreement. Sincerely, Bonnie Winter. So that's earlier than that usually comes, I think. I hope.
Starting the process.
Yes. That's good. Proceed to discussion and vote. We have accounts payable in the amount of $1,107,933.06. I move to approve. Second. Terry?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. payroll claims reimbursement in the amount of $139.09. I move to approve. Second, Terry.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
And we have an appointment to the COBCO Board of Trustees. Whereas the current trustee, Judy Stuker, appointed by the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors, has resigned from the trustee board. Whereas the Board of Supervisors recommends Sarah Doty to fill the trustee position on COBCO's Board of Trustees as Des Moines County's representative. And further be it resolved that the Board of Supervisors hereby appoint Sarah Doty to serve as trustee on the COBCO Board of Trustees until further notice.
I move to approve Sarah Doty.
Second, Terry.
Shane McCampbell?
Hold on, let me think about it. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
And it wouldn't be complete without a thank you to Judy. She's been on there for several years. So. Much appreciated. We have an agreement for HIPAA services with Compliancy Center Group LLC. We've had at least two work sessions on this, or was it three?
Yeah, discussions about the HIPAA program, so.
Yes, so finally have it under control. So we need approval of the agreement with Compliancy Group.
I move to approve.
Second, Terry.
Shane Campbell?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Just one copy enough of this?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I just scan it in and send it to them, so.
We have the ICAP, Community Assurance Pool invoice. This is the organization that provides liability, property, casualty insurance for the County of Des Moines. And we have a decision to make. One is what's been in the past, and the other moves the casualty deductible to $5,000 from $1,000. So, in order to make this a little easier, I took the liberty of getting loss runs for the last 17 years, putting that on a spreadsheet. Anyway, so if comparing what it was with $1,000 to what it would have been with $5,000, so if we paid $34,701 in deductibles through that 17-year period, 2021 to date. And if it would have been $5,000 deductible, we would have paid $93,438. So we would have paid $58,737 more in deductibles. But we would have saved $6,624 for 17 years, which is $112,608. So the county would have been almost $54,000 ahead. So there were actually, out of those 17 years, there were only 4 years that the additional deductions would have exceeded the $6,600 premium savings. So I would recommend that we take the $5,000 deductible.
I move that we accept the $5,000 deductible.
Second, Terry.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. Gotta make sure I stamped the right one here. Not particularly clear to me where I sign this.
They have so many extra pages in there.
They do. I'll tell you what, I'm just going to stamp it approved.
Yes,
you look at whatever you want it signed, you let me know.
Yeah, I'll hunt you down.
Okay. Have a resolution for the final plat of G&G Acres subdivision. I'm thinking that would be you, Jerry.
Yeah, it's actually the first edition of G&G Acres. The original G&G Acres was a one-lot subdivision back in 2011, and this includes basically the remainder of the property that was initially carved out of. Taking that piece that's just over 40 acres and splitting it into two parts. So the one which contains an existing house and then some ag land is just under 19 acres, and then the other piece, which is entirely farmland, is about 21 acres. The line that was surveyed to separate the two essentially follows an existing fence. As of now, there are no plans to develop anything new here or sell lot three. I think it sounds like it's a situation where the owner would just prefer to have those two properties taxed separately. And originally the G&G Acres lot, the lot along the road was actually for selling to build a house, which has since been constructed there. As I understand it, this was all initially planned. And the owner had initially wanted to split it into three lots, but I think at the time we must have thought that we would have preferred to avoid doing three at once and still be considered a minor subdivision. So evidently they prioritized that one lot split for the house and then saved the other part for a later date. And so here we are. Nothing really in terms of comments received. The only notable comment was from Secondary Roads, noting that they would need to share an entrance from the existing entrance from Highway 79. But that, as I understand it, that was already the intention. And in fact, there is a 60-foot-wide easement shown at the entrance there, and there's already a opening and gate in the fence there where it breaks off of that main driveway. So that's already been accounted for on the plat. That's the intention to continue using that entrance there. This is within the 2-mile review area of Danville. It was presented to them and they addressed it at their council meeting last Monday and have a resolution here. They passed waiving their right to review that subdivision. So that's all I have. I recommend approval of first edition of G&G.
Thank you. Move to approve.
Second. Terry?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
We'll get those signed for you after the meeting here. We have an appointment to Southeast Iowa Regional Airport Authority Board. I move to approve Dan Wiedmeyer. Second. Terry?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Dan gets up. Thanks. He's represented the county on the airport board on the Highway 61 Coalition and the Mid-America Port Authority for some time, so it's not always easy to find somebody to do that. Thank you, sir, for taking on COPCO board.
Absolutely.
We have two actions for conservation. We have a Jacqueline
Shekel and Dunchy. Conservation tech intern, a discharge, effective June 8th. And William Wagner Ertz, natural resource manager, a resignation, effective 6-9.
I move to approve conservation's personnel actions.
Second, Terry.
Shane Campbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. We have a personnel action for DESCOM, Mary Polson, dispatch supervisor, resignation.
I think it was effective May the 12th.
May 12th, yes.
I move to accept personnel action.
Second, Terry.
Shane Campbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. We have the Sheriff's Monthly Report for May 2021 and the Clerk of Courts reports for fees collected on May 2021.
$6,000 R&B. Like how you guys are
keep it coming in.
These reports will be on file at the Auditor's Office and available for public review. We have minutes for the regular meeting of June 8, 2021.
Move to approve minutes.
Second, Terry.
Shane Campbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Any other business? Future agenda items. Committee reports.
I have my committee report with the 8th Judicial District in Fairfield. All the meetings are in Fairfield, so I know how I ended up with that one. Oh! But it was good.
Did you sneak it away from Jim?
Yeah, right. But no, I'm actually glad I'm on that one, and I learned a lot, and found out that we've got a really good setup here in Des Moines County with the halfway house or the residential facility where they're working out with other businesses so that we can try to get those the people that are getting ready to get out, find them a job. Flint Cliff is one of them, I think. ISC is one of them. So a lot of other communities don't have that setup like we do, so that was encouraging. I got to think about it all the way back from Fairfield. It was wonderful. That's it.
Well, I attended the Southeast Iowa Link Governance Board meeting that Ken mentioned. We approved contracts and claims and discussed the American Rescue Plan a little bit, and we still don't have any information why Great River Medical Center decided not to contract with the region, but we mentioned last week or the week before. But that's that. Public input.
Well, Tom, before that, I took your representative to the Transportation Commission meeting last Tuesday also. So I thought I'd mention that since normally that's a board member, but you guys left Bob back on the Highway 61 Coalition. So we went over to that meeting, and it's pretty aggressive in the five-year plan with money being spent on the corridor as we move north. So
really?
They've got even has some culvert work in the budget in the fifth year all the way up to the section that extends up to Newport Junction. So it's there's over 5 years, it's a lot of headway that could be made on that entire segment.
Good.
So anyway, I met the new director of the DOT, and it was a worthwhile trip.
So the five-year plan, all the way up to Newport's in the five-year plan?
I believe not the whole not the entire part of the construction. I would say, off the top of my head, I don't have it in front of me, I guess, but most of the segment around Mediapolis is in there, kind of from beginning to ending. And then the early portion of some stuff for that segment up to Newport is in there. So it's good to see that stuff come into the 5-year. It feels like maybe they were talking about spreading it out. It kind of felt like they had brought some of it back in a little bit. So good. So anyway, sometime I'll get my hands on that program. We brought two of them back, but Bob wanted one, and he wanted one to give to Dan Wiedemeyer, so I did not walk away with one. So
we're probably scared you and Bob and Dan were all going to show up.
Rightfully so.
Thank you. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, you're watching online, you may email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com, that's B-O-A-R-D @dmcounty.com, or call 319-753-8203, extension 4, that's 319-753-8203, extension 4. Anybody in attendance have any comments? This is where sorrow is.
Sorry.
Tell us something about rock and roll. He's tough to replace. At least on that particular day. Bob always has something to say. Whether you want to hear it or not.
I'm quiet and shocked.
That's okay. That's okay.
My focus wasn't on all the details of the ICAP claims. Is that all claims through ICAP, or are that specific claims?
This is liability. It's automobile liability, general liability, public officials liability, and professional police. Or police. I have to look up, but there's of the four categories of liability, one of them is professional police liability, something like that. And that's the claims against those. And the numbers I threw up with that was just the what we paid in deductibles. We had over 17 years, we had some bad years and we had some really good years. But I'll give you a spreadsheet if you want to ask me.
That'd be great.
Except ICAP's not going to cover rogue auditors, though. I said ICAP's not going to cover rogue auditors if we get fined $10,000 for not doing elections properly.
That's an uncoverable risk.
Yep.
I think the big change for us there would be when we have like a deer accident or something like that. Right now, that will cost us $1,000. But
for your vehicle, you mean?
Yes.
That's not liability. That would be under, there's a couple kinds of property damage. There's one of them that's pretty much just county-owned vehicles.
Okay, so that would remain $1,000?
That would remain unchanged.
Okay.
So yeah, that's a, yeah, I can look through
that
there.
That doesn't mean you can't watch out for the deer.
Yeah.
Well, I can pick you guys out of the washroom.
I was wondering on those numbers of the, I was trying to go through my mind how many accidents we've had. We've put a lot of miles and deer are out there, so. But that makes more sense.
I will. I've got that in a PDF or Excel or some damn thing that from ICAP. I will forward that to you.
Perfect.
Loss runs, you can entertain yourself with that.
Sounds interesting.
It's
out of curiosity, are the deer worse this year? Everything else seems to be more rabbits, more...
No, you know, it comes in waves. We haven't had a deer accident in
Oh, you
months.
Should not have said that.
I'll risk it. I'll risk it.
But you haven't seen more out?
No, not necessarily. I see them all the time. I drive that time of night, so
right.
I tend to see them in the evening. But I would say there's more.
Okay. Like I said, with COVID, it seems like a lot of the wildlife is heavier this year than they've been in the past years.
Right. Finally getting out.
Maybe yeah. Humans not being quite so involved has been a good thing for
okay. With an eye, we're adjourned. We are adjourned. It will be a work session in about 5 minutes with the department heads regarding the employee handbook.
I totally forgot about